visit girlsrockcampvancouver.ca.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the Daves of our lives.
It is Friday, the 7th of July, 2017, and this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios, underlooking the agora of the palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksan, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, we've got a full studio today crammed with guests with plenty of exciting stuff to talk about. First, we'll talk to a couple of the folks from Red Window Theatre Ensemble, find out about their upcoming production of Jane Austen's Sense and Sensibility. Then we'll meet Sarah Bino, local actor, producer, podcaster, and host of two comic reading series, Teen Angst and Say What? And then local filmmaker Michelle Muldoon will tell us about her next big thing, an all-female version of the gunfight at the OK Corral called Last Stand to Nowhere. Plus, in between, we'll drop in some tracks from tomorrow's Catalano Street Party. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. Is it just me, or does my mic sound a little muddy today? I just feel like I'm kind of, I got that kind of head cold feeling, but I don't have a cold, so. Anyway, tomorrow is the big Catalano Street Party every year this time on 4th Avenue, all the way from Burrard all the way to McDonald, up the hill and back down. And I think there's like five or six different stages, dozens and dozens of great entertainment, bands, street performers, food stands, carts, beverages, folks you know, folks you don't know, just like just a whole day of fun. It starts at noon, goes till like 8 or 9 o'clock at night. We're going to be dropping in some of the tunes from some of the acts that are going to be playing there. But we'll start off with the headliner, Vancouver favorite. This is the Zolas.
Oh, honey.
incandescent girl of incandescent. When the arrows falling down, will you stand with me? Build a fire out of pages of magazines. Someone like you don't come around every dynasty. A swooner, that's what you are.
Feel my temperature rising like a comic
magazines. Someone like you don't come around every dynasty. A swooner, that's what you are.
So that's the Zolas, and as I said, they're going to be on 4th Avenue tomorrow, part of the Catalano Street Party, not to be missed. All right, as I said, we've got a room full of guests, and we'll start with our first two. So just tell me who you are and what you're doing.
My name is Megan Alda, and
okay,
I am...
You keep talking. I'm just going to move. There you go.
I am playing Marianne Dashwood in Red Window Theater's Sense and Sensibility. Mm-hmm. It's premiering this fall at the Vancouver Historic Theater.
And I bet you're probably part of the cast, too.
I am, yes. I'm Helen Martin, mm-hmm. and I'm going to be playing Fanny Dashwood.
Okay.
I'm very excited.
Well, good. Good. That's a good start. All right. So now this is based on the Jane Austen story, correct?
Yes. So A Sense and Sensibility is a story set in the late 1700s, and it follows the Dashwood family, mainly sisters Eleanor and Marianne. Mm-hmm. They're actually cheated from their inheritance by their older half-brother and his wife, played by Fanny, and they're forced out of their home. So the story really follows them as they try to find their place in society mm-hmm. after this, in a time where... very male dominant.
yeah. Oh, of course. This mm-hmm. is like the 1850s or something like that. Or?
Late 1700s.
Even earlier. Okay.
Yeah.
So it was pretty repressive time. So mm-hmm. Helen, you're playing Fanny.
Yes.
So you get to be the villain.
I get to be the nasty one, which I love. She's such a delightfully wicked character.
Oh, really?
And it's quite thrilling to play that sort mm-hmm. of character on stage. She's very self-serving, really, has her own agenda.
Yeah.
But she always gets what she wants.
Of course.
Which is also interesting in that time period.
Yeah, I imagine. So I don't know the story at all. So what's her relationship, first of all, with, you said it's her husband, the other sinister partner in this.
Yeah. She's married to John Dashwood, and
right.
he's the elder half-brother mm-hmm. of the main leads, Eleanor and Marianne Dashwood.
Right. Yeah.
The story is really about the sisters, two sisters.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's talk about the relationship of the sisters then.
it's a little bit tumultuous on Marianne's side when it comes to Fanny.
Yeah.
Marianne is one of the sisters who's cheated out of her inheritance.
Yeah.
She really embodies sensibility. So she's whimsical. She's emotional. She's poetic. She really enjoys letting her heart guide her and relies heavily on her feelings to make all of her decisions. So when it comes to relationships, that she has. She's such an impulse person that she doesn't understand when anybody needs to do anything logically,
mm-hmm.
which would be Eleanor. Eleanor is kind of the epitome of logic. She's
right.
the epitome of
she's
sense.
She's the sense part.
Yeah, she's the sense. So Marianne actually really despises Fanny because Fanny is the one that is taking away everything.
Right.
She's taking away her life and kind of forcing her to go outside of her comfort zone and search for other...
Move to Devonshire. Mm-hmm, be all mm-hmm. wild.
Oh, well
remote.
Then. that wraps that up. What's the problem?
Yeah, Marianne's not too happy about that.
Okay, all right. Well, then we'll
they're leaving
that.
A very big house.
Yeah. Now, the show's going up in September, and it's at the Cult Historic, which is a nice venue to play at.
Beautiful venue, yes.
Perfect for this period of a play.
Yeah.
So historic looking itself. So mm-hmm. it's really nice.
Yeah. And of course, having it set in the 18th century, it gives an opportunity for costuming and set design. So there's kind of, I imagine it would be a fairly lush a palette that we would be looking at as well.
It'll be fun. There's a lot that we have to work on, and we don't want to give anything away. But
no.
it's definitely
and,
really
and
exciting.
And being a not-for-profit, it's also, you know, there's heavy budget constraints.
Yeah.
So you're making do with what you have.
But. We like to think that the actors will use our skills and talents to dazzle you and invigorate your imagination.
Course. Yeah. Of course.
We've got an amazing cast. It's actually lovely. So.
Well, tell us a bit more about who the rest of the cast is then. Mm-hmm. They're so darn amazing.
Yes.
So we have Amy King.
Mm-hmm.
She is playing Eleanor.
Yeah.
We have Niamh Taylor, and she is playing Margaret.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Daryl Hutchins is going to be playing Mr. Palmer.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't got the list in front of me. Emma, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So these are all local veterans that that theater goers would have be familiar with. So
yes, we have quite a wide experience. We have some people who have years of experience in the theater scene in Vancouver, and some people it's their very first time on stage, which is wonderful.
It is always exciting to be part of that. And Red Window, is that that's another thing I'm not familiar with. Is that a new company?
I think it's fairly new. Yes. So I think it was started just as a base of performers and artists who wanted to get together and put things on for the community and kind of involve community in new artistic ventures.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds exciting. Looking forward to it. And of course, you'll be following me because I'm going to be doing a show for The Fringe that will also be in the same theater. So we'll bump into each other on the way out. Yeah. All right, so it's Sense and Sensibility. It's playing at the Cult Historic in September. And if you want to know more about it, it's redwindowtheater.com, and theater spelt with an R-E, but just type in Red Window or Sense and Sensibility on the search engine and you'll find your way. Megan and Helen, thank you very much for coming in.
Thank you.
Have a great summer rehearsal, and we'll see you in September.
Thanks very much.
Great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot. All right, let's keep promoting the Catalano deal here. Here's an old favorite, a band that's been around since before you were born. It's Roots Roundup.
Keep walking by.
All right, that's Roots Roundup, and I'm just doing a quick scan here to see if I can figure out what time they're playing. And yeah, they'll be on at 4:30 on the Burrard Street stage tomorrow at the Catalano Street Party. Be there at noon, or actually, it's going to start with the Tycho Drums at 4th and Trafalgar at 11 o'clock. So, you know, get there early and spend the whole day and have a great time. And yeah, we'll just keep playing music from them. All right, we have two more guests in the studio. And please identify yourselves.
Oh, my name is Sarah Bino.
Yeah.
And I'm Michelle Muldoon.
All right. And this is kind of a cold reading reunion we've got here, because I've met both Sarah and Michelle at the Cold Reading Series. But you have other lives besides that. Sarah, let's talk about what you're up to first.
Sure. The whole reason I'm here, really. Yeah, I mean, there's so many things I do with my life. But really, I'm here to promote two comedy shows, sort of storytelling comedy shows that I'm producing and hosting this month. The first one is called Teen Angst Night. Mm-hmm. And that's a show where people get up and read from their embarrassing and heartfelt, melodramatic teenage diaries, poetry, letters, song, etc. And that's happening at the Gordon Smith Gallery on July 18th.
That's in North Vancouver. Yeah.
Making the big trip across the
C-bus. Take the C-bus.
Mm-hmm. And then the second show is called Say Wah, Readings of Deliciously Rotten Writing. And that's a show where funny people read from the worst books that they can find. That's happening at the Cottage Bistro on July 26th.
Oh, interesting. So it's sort of a similar theme. One is the worst thing you've ever written, and then it's the worst thing you've ever read.
So I like working with verbatim text.
That's right.
If I was to fulfill a grant application, that would be all about that. Sort of like satire about not taking yourself so seriously, sort of taking the piss out of people, taking the piss out of yourself, just laughing and having a good time and telling some stories.
Yeah. And you've been doing this for a few years now.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I started Teen Angst Night in 2000.
My goodness.
Yeah. I look very young for doing it so long. I'm realizing I'm working on a project where I'm like, I've almost been working on my teen angst diaries and stuff for 20 years. Started when I was 19.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's the show that will never die. People still want to keep doing it.
Yeah, that's the really cool part, is that you've been doing it for this long because people still come up and have things they want to read.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's so delightful. And I get such a thrill out of having new people get up on stage and share their stuff.
Yeah. What's some of the craziest stuff you've heard on that?
Oh, my gosh. There's one girl who, she's so charming, and I won't say her name. There is maybe a video of her on my YouTube page. She shared a very sexually explicit story where she was experimenting with her first boyfriend, and it is so delightful, and the audience loves it, but she's a very shy person. I feel like people that are really shy do so well at this show. Like, it's a very strange thing. When people get up and they're, you know, professional comedians and they have their funny bits, you know, they're very confident, and the audience is like, this is great, this makes it easy. But when someone gets up on stage and they're shy and awkward, it just makes you love them all the more. Any like amateur performers, please come out to this show. But professionals are always welcome because they're just delightful. On the last show I had at the Fox Cabaret, which was back in May, Brent Constantine, who's a very funny comedian around town, he shared some like doodles and cartoons that he created. And I mean, I laughed so hard I cried.
Wow.
It was delightful.
Okay, so that's coming up in like a week or so?
That's going to be, a week and a bit. Yeah. July 18th in North Vancouver at the Gordon Smith Gallery. They're doing a whole bunch of programming around this
exhibition?
Exhibition, yeah, I'll say that. That's called Art School High.
Uh-huh.
So they have lots of artists doing reflections on their teenage years, things about high school. I don't know if there's actual teenagers involved, but they reached out to me and they said, this might be a good fit.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I'm delighted to be a part of it.
Yeah. And then the other event, which is the week after that at the Cottage.
Yeah, the Say Wah.
Yeah.
So that's funny people reading from terrible books. I mean, I haven't chosen my book yet, but, you know, we're all aware that Ivanka Trump wrote a book on how women work. So that's going to be terrible. I have a book here that we probably don't have time, but... it's
we
a book that won the
time.
Well,
lots
won the Governor General's Award for literature in 1976, and it's about a woman that has an erotic relationship with a bear.
Oh.
So basically,
well, you brought
all
it.
Types of things. Well, I thought, you know, if we were filling time, I could read it.
You've done it.
Okay.
Just pick it
but
up and read.
But I do have to warn you, it is sexually explicit.
Oh.
I don't know. Can I mention? Well, just warn bare genitalia on college radio.
I think you just did.
Okay, great.
Okay.
So this is a book that's like a favorite of mine, and it's very like Canada Day appropriate, even though we're a little bit late.
Yeah.
So here's an example of what would get read at a Sewa show, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, the story is about a sad, lonely librarian who goes away to a house in northern Ontario to catalog this, you know, house and this very famous guy's stuff. And she's on an island where the house is, and there's a bear that's sort of like the pet of the property. And this is page 72. So we're like two-thirds through the book. She's alone at night. She says, "Bear," she said, rubbing her foot in his fur, and suddenly lonely. The fire was too hot, and the fur rug had edged towards her. Oh, she was lonely, inconsolably lonely. It had been years since she had had any human contact. She'd always been bad at finding it. It was as if men knew that her soul was gangrenous.
Ooh.
Right?
Yeah.
So good. "Oh, Bear," she said, rubbing his neck. She got up and took her clothes off because she was hot. You know, as you do. She lay down on the far side of the bear, away from the fire, and a little away from him, and began, in her desolation, to make love to herself. The bear roused himself from his somnolence, shifted and turned. He put out his moly tongue. It was fat, and, as the cyclopedia says, vertically ridged. He began to lick her. And, you know, I'll spare you some of the details, but my favorite line...
don't stop!
No, no, okay, great, all fine. Oh, my God, right? It's like, it's crazy. This book won the Governor General's Award.
You know, it's actually kind of appropriate that you're reading a Governor General's book, because I had been approached about a year or so ago by somebody who had... He was trying to get funding to do an audio project of readings from every Governor General's award-winning piece of literature since the award was started, I think, in 1937.
Yeah.
And
for some reason,
the project never happened. But we can use this as the first recording if it ever does come back up.
Mm-hmm.
So there we go.
Oh, please let me know. I would love to. I'm all over this. Oh God! And the cover of the original book is amazing. Well, not the original paperback.
Yeah.
It's like a Harlequin romance novel. There's a woman who's bare-chested, but her hair covers her breasts. She's wearing this sort of like flowy hippie skirt.
Yeah.
And there's a bear behind her with like one hand over her shoulder and one hand sort of around her waist, like embracing her. And he's got his claws out. You got to Google it. It went viral a couple years ago. Like, it is like, what? What? My favorite line in the whole book is... she cupped his furry asymmetrical balls in her hand.
Yeah.
What? That's why the show's called Say What?
Yeah.
We encourage people to find books that make them say what. As in, like, who would publish this?
Yeah.
What is the target audience?
Who would give this an award?
I know. I called the Governor General's office, or Canada Council for the Arts, and I found out who gave it the award.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mordecai Richler.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Margaret Lawrence. And... Alice Munro.
All right.
What?
There you go. You see right there.
I know. I actually pitched a documentary project to Tell Us, if you're listening, to do like a documentary series and finding out more information about the history of this book.
I think so.
Right? Woman Seeks Bear.
Yeah.
That's what our working title is. Right? Or maybe we can talk to you about crowdfunding later about this.
I think we're getting something happening now. Okay, so the Teen Angst Night is Tuesday the 18th?
That's correct.
Yeah, and that's, once again, at...
At the Gordon Smith Gallery of Canadian Art in North Vancouver.
Right. Whereabouts is that in North Van?
It's 2121 Lonsdale.
Oh, right up there.
Okay. But beyond that, I'm not too sure.
Yeah, so 21st and Lonsdale, yep. So that's sort of around the Centennial Theatre in that area, I guess.
Sure.
Something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, I have yet to actually go there, because... Okay. I don't leave a three-kilometer radius of my house. It's pretty amazing that I made it out here.
You will find it.
You must live in
the West End. I live in Mount Pleasant. I know.
What? Cross a bridge? What are you kidding?
I know.
And then the other one is the Say What Show, which is at the Cottage on Main Street
Bistro.
The following Wednesday.
Main and 29th on the 26th.
There you go. And people want to find out more, where do they go?
Really, you can just go to sarahbino.com.
Right.
Or Google
BYNOE.
That's correct. And it's Sarah spelled the right way. S-A-R-A. You can call me Sarah if you have a British accent.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, I'm on Twitter and the Facebook.
And you have a podcast.
Oh, yeah, I do. You know, if you want to hear more of the bear reading, I do have a podcast. I think it's podcast number 30 of Say What, the podcast. You can just Google that, and it's WHA Interrobang, so question, exclamation point.
Okay. Well, we'll link all that on the Dave Radio Facebook page.
So. Thank you so much.
You got it. Thanks for coming in, sir.
My pleasure.
Oh, terrific. All right. What? Michelle?
Yes, Dave.
Are you ready to go, or do you want to take a break?
No. Let's do it.
Hi. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me in.
You know, we've known each other for a few years, and I really don't know you at all. So tell me, who are you, Michelle?
Who am
Michelle
I? I'm Muldoon. Mysterious. Yeah. Okay. I am a writer primarily, and when I started my journey in film, I quickly came to realize that the best way for a writer to understand film, to be a better writer, to move themselves forward, to create an identity, is to make film. But because I didn't go to film school, I've been learning through making projects. And I think now I'm ready to make something a little bit bigger and more ambitious. And so I ended up with this project, Last Stand to Nowhere. But the whole journey in between has been a combination.
Is this your first time as a director?
No.
Okay.
No, I think anybody who is going to develop directing skills needs to start small and every project learn from the last and build up on the size of it. I came to this sort of as a second passion in life, and so I've got some transfer skills. I was a successful volleyball coach in the high school years for years. I went to about 10 provincials, and I find that a lot of the skills that I had as a coach between planning, prep work, instruction, communication, motivation, all of those are highly transferable in film. And I think that what has anchored me and stood me as I've grown and learned in my process.
Yeah, it is something that you learn, and it's in film, and it's in theater, and it's in all the arts, all the creative pursuits. It is a team.
It is.
And you do depend on every part of that team. So being a coach is something that would really put you in good stead in that area.
I agree completely. It's probably the best thing I could have done for prep, to be honest with you. And I really do emphasize for everybody, every writer out there now, get involved with making film. If you don't want to direct, produce your own short. Find out what all the components are, because we talk a lot about, you know, what it means to write a story, but we don't talk a lot about what it means to ask people to make that story.
Yeah.
And you're asking a lot. So get out there and find out what that actually involves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I think it makes you a better writer.
You're putting it in someone else's hands, so you want to get an idea of what those hands can do.
Yes. And you have to also be comfortable with giving it up.
Yeah.
And until you've done that on a smaller level, it gets hard. It's really hard to understand what that means at a larger level.
So let's talk about this project, Last Stand to Nowhere. This is a really it's a unique concept. It's basically an all female version of the gunfight at the OK Corral.
Yes.
Now, why did you come up with that one?
I was actually working on somebody else's film over in Jamestown a couple of years ago, and we're walking down Main Street, and I'm thinking, wow, it'd be really fun to do gunfight at the OK Corral with a bunch of women, wouldn't it? And everybody's like, yeah, that'd be really kind of cool. And it sat for a bit.
Yeah.
And like with a lot of shorts with me, I come up with the idea. It sits for a bit. I go, and then the script just comes in a couple of hours. It's really simple. Mm-hmm. But I think I've gone to so many festivals, and my last short was a 3-minute short about a woman who is an assassin, basically, and how she deals with what would be a normal problem for the rest of us, which is not a very normal way. And I was at a festival in Butte, Montana, so Covalite Film Festival, thank you for this. And we screened the last day in this incredible old theater from the Vaudeville Theater, basically.
Oh, wow.
And you know, we'd been talking about this already. I'd applied for some initial funding, and it wasn't quite coming through with Canada Arts Council, and it still sat. And I had some of the cast still, and I had all this. And a woman came up to me and started talking to me about my film, which is, again, I like to say I make the Righteous Babe with a Weapon kind of film. That's what I really like to do. And the feedback I was getting from women just ramped up my excitement even more about this project. And you know, we've been talking about this all last year, and now this year it was like, we're
we're going to commit to this. Yeah. So the team is outstanding. The producers include Victoria Angel, who's produced a lot of short films and some for Bravo Fact as well, and was an associate producer on Karen Lamb's first film. Frances Flanagan, who's an actor in town who's making the move into producing, and but who has produced live events and a number of events for women in film as well. And Maya Aro, who's also our stunt coordinator, who mm-hmm. is the stunt coordinator on Once Upon a Time and is just an all-around badass. She's yeah. just awesome. And so, yeah, we're now just committed to making it happen. It's going to be a very female-heavy crew.
Yeah.
And the cast is spectacular. I mean, I couldn't have asked for better human beings and performers in this town.
You've got the team together. Yeah. Have you shot any of it yet?
No. Okay. We've done a concept photo shoot with Wendy D. Photography, who, mm-hmm. again, is in the arts community, I think, very well known for doing some beautiful work.
Yeah.
And we're using the concept photos to really push our next step for funding.
Right.
We have applied as well to a couple of funding groups like Bravo Fact and TELUS. And we're waiting to hear back from them. But the crowdfunding for us is, one, it tops us up with those agencies if the best case scenario is that we get a yes. And mm-hmm. what that means is it allows us to world build. And if we don't get a yes, it allows us to regroup, look at our budget, rework it, and go back and still film.
Yeah.
We think we need at least about 25 to 30,000 at mm-hmm. a bare bones level to make this happen. And
that's nothing in a film budget. That's amazing.
Yeah, but again, that's like people working for free.
Well, of course.
And the thing is, most of us have done this for enough years that the truth is, we want to pay people. We want to honor their gifts. We want to be able to book enough time for the work to happen. I got to tell you, when I did research on guns and bullets and gun wranglers and all the expenses with making a period piece, my jaw kind of dropped.
Oh, yeah.
And so location and weaponry and safety and stunt work costs money.
Mm-hmm.
And if we want to do it well, it costs more money. If we, you know, there are gradations here, right? So
So how can we help? You've got the Indiegogo page.
Well, we've put up an Indiegogo page. We're mm-hmm. at about, what are we at, 24 days to go, Dave?
23 days left.
Yeah.
$6,458 raised by 57 backers.
That's fantastic.
52% of your goal.
Our goal was set low because the thing about Indiegogo is if you don't make your goal, you pay them 5%.
Uh-huh.
So if you make your goal or exceed your goal, which our best case scenario in our heart of hearts we hope to do, is then we don't pay them that 5% and we get more money back to us.
Yeah.
So you're always best to set that goal low.
Mm-hmm.
We have some perks up on there, some cast signed photos, some associate producer and producer credits, scripts, you know, just the gamut that really goes with crowdfunding. The truth is, crowdfunding is about community, and we've just finished talking about how important community is for theater and for live performances. For indie film is all about community.
Yeah.
And we don't make film happen without each other. And sometimes, you know, that means throwing in a couple of loonies, toonies, you know, or anything like that. I like to say to the Americans that have been asking, hey, it's like almost 30% discount for you guys because it's in Canadian dollars. We're asking for money. So that's what we really need to do. What's been amazing about this experience is how many people, and excuse the corniness, are willing to hop onto this wagon train.
Yeah.
You know?
Load up the check wagon, put on the feed bag.
And yeah. And I've had, you know, I've had a little bit of backlash on social media.
Yeah,
You know,
that's what it's for.
Yeah. But the truth is that we're in a time now where women in action is here. It's the time. We can make this now. We can get an audience. Festivals, I've had a couple of festivals already go, hey, we're so supportive of this idea. Mm-hmm. You know, while there are people who go, oh, well, you know, Ghostbusters didn't work, and want to say that, you know, I know. But totally my argument is Catwoman didn't work and Wonder Woman sure didn't it?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think the time, this is the year to make it.
Exactly.
And when you've got a cast like we've got, so I really want to give a shout out to cast.
Go.
So we are partially casted. and I'll do the corresponding male names because I still have those original characters. But our Wyatt Earp is Chela Horsdahl, who you've seen on Man in the High Castle and Hell on Wheels. Mm-hmm. Our Virginia Earp or Virgil Earp is Sarah Deakins, who is award-winning on some of her work and who has just finished her own short, Yellow. Jen McLean Angus, who Riverdale fans knew her as Mrs. Muggs, but the Killing fans also know her quite well. Mm-hmm. And Julie Lynn Mortensen, who's got an indie feature called Drawing Home right now on the circuit. And Joanna Newmarch, who is well known to the When Call the Heart fans.
Yeah.
And pretty much almost everything made in this town. I mean, it's really, for me, this has been building into a bit of a rock star group. I'm really proud of the people involved with this short. And I think... I think they deserve to make this too, because they all want to do this. And if you take a look at the concept photos that we've been posting slowly, both on the Indiegogo page and our Facebook page, they're ready to do the part.
Yeah. Yeah. It looks good.
Yeah.
It looks really good. You know, I'm quite excited to see it happen. So,
well, so are we.
Get on that. I've posted the Indiegogo on the Dave Radio page, but it's called Last Stand to Nowhere, and get on board. There's all kinds of incentives for starting from $10 donations up to, you've got the mayor level at $2,000.
Yeah, so. I'm in discussion with somebody from the States who is thinking about coming up. It includes an IMDb executive producing credit and a day on set with us. And
awesome.
Someone's pretty excited to do that.
Yeah.
And we've had two people come in with $1,000 donations for the IMDb executive producer credit too, and a couple in the $500 for associate producer credit. So really, really appreciative of everybody that's come on board. We can't say thank you enough. And I think actually the one thing I've learned about producing over the years is my job is to say please and then thank you repeatedly.
Yeah.
Because... you know, when you get good people who are willing to take the journey with you, you
hang on to them.
You hang on to them.
You love them.
And you appreciate them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, get on board. Support local filmmakers. Support women in film. Support Last Stand to Nowhere. And Michelle Muldoon, thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks for having me on the show. This was fantastic.
All right. Let's talk some more about the Catalina Festival, where this is an all-female band that we've been playing for a while. They're called Frankie.
Hey, hey! UBC Africa Awareness Initiative is a student-run organization that advocates for a greater inclusion of Africa and African-related issues in UBC academia and social life. Some of our major events include Dioko, UBC's largest African dance party, Culture Night, a celebration of African culture and diversity, and Conference Week, where our goal is to foster more intelligent and intellectual dialogue about Africa on the UBC campus. With this in mind, we hope to contribute towards creating global citizens with a more informed perspective of the continent.
The most powerful motivational speeches that I have ever heard came from people who told me I couldn't do something. You know why? Because when they told me I couldn't do it, I was bound and determined to show them that I could.
All Access Pass is back for season 2. We are a collectively run weekly program that discusses equity, inclusion, and accessibility issues on and off UBC's campus, including both visible and invisible disabilities. You can catch All Access Pass every Thursdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Anyone can get involved. No experience is necessary. People of all abilities are welcome to join. Check us out on Facebook at All Access Pass or get involved by emailing accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
A stack of records here, a stack of records there. I got records scattered all over everywhere, but I'm looking for one.
Discorder magazine has been supporting independent music for over 30 years, and it keeps on living by joining efforts with local music supporters such as Vinyl Records. You can find a selection of Vinyl Records' featured albums on the back cover of Discorder and can support your favorite local bands and artists by purchasing their records. For more information on their vast selection of new, used, and rare music, go to vinylrecords.ca.
Solano Street Party is back Saturday, July 8th on West 4th Ave from Burrard to McDonald. There will be performances by the Zolas, the Courtneys, Louise Burns, and many more. Plus, the West 4th Living Stage with yoga, fashion shows, cooking, and mixology demonstrations. And of course, Mill Street Beer Gardens, food trucks, and family programming featuring Bob's and Lolo. It's all free. Quetzalano, Saturday, July 8th. Brought to you with love by the merchants of West 4th, Car2Go, and Coast Capital Savings.
Time now for the Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to all genders, ethnicities, ages, and backgrounds. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. A121 Brothers, where this is a show that's going to be on at the Fringe Festival. It's a site-specific play. They'll be sort of wandering around Granville Island during the Fringe Festival, September 7th to 17th. The auditions are today and tomorrow right here at the UBC Nest. If you want to find out more, you can send an email to brothersfringe@gmail.com. Then we've got another Fringe show. This is called The Long Walk by Daniel Morton and Nathaniel Roy. And they're looking for a director. So if you have some experience with on-site shows, improv, and dramaturgy, because they want some help with the script too. So this is a show that requires a lot of improv and moving from place to place. So they would like to hear from you. So contact Daniel. And his email is daniel@danielmorton.ca. Vancouver Film School Sketch Company auditions are happening Wednesday, July 19th at the Film School Acting Building at Hastings and Canby, right across from Victory Square. They're looking for actors, improvisers, comedians, and generally funny folk. They produce live sketch comedy 3 times a year, and these are shows that are written by the students of the Vancouver Film School Writing for Film and Television program, and they are performed in front of a packed house, it says. They're in search of fun, talented folks to join ranks as they're looking to expand their diverse company of actors for this fall season. So ethnicities, ages, backgrounds, all are encouraged to apply, And you can send your email and information to VFSSKETH, Vancouver Film School Sketch, at gmail.com. Our dear friends at It's a Zoo have another hopefully award-winning play coming up. And this will be on stage in April. The auditions are happening in July of this year. The show is called Wet by David James Brock. It's the Western Canadian premiere of an award-winning in-your-face play set during the height of Canada's involvement in the Afghan War. The play will be done in a site-specific location in a basement suite, so it will be very intimate. And there is a warning that the play does contain graphic sexuality, nudity, disturbing imagery, and violence. So only submit if you're comfortable with this kind of material. They encourage submissions from artists of all diverse backgrounds. If you want to know more, it's itsazoo, itsazoo.org. More friends of the show, Geek Enders, are doing a show called How I Met My Mother. They're Back to the Future musical, and that's going to be happening at the Rio in December. The auditions are at the end of July, the 29th and 30th, at Bulala Costumes in North Vancouver. Actors do not have to be age-appropriate if they're funny and have a good grasp on the character, since the show is a parody. They're looking for experienced actors, singers, dancers for this show, but the characters of Lorraine, Biff, and George are already cast, so they're still looking for a Marty and a Doc Brown. So maybe you'll get in there. No, that doesn't sound like him at all. I guess I won't. Opera Opulenza doing Tales of Hoffman by Offenbach. That is happening at the York on July 21st and 22nd. That's just 2 weeks away. Looks like they're still looking for two supernumeraries. So this is a part for actors. It's an opera, but you don't have to sing. In fact, they don't even have to speak. They just have to appear on stage, basically as extras in a tavern scene. If you want to know more about that, you can send an email to Opera Opulenzo. That's Opera Opulenza at gmail.com. Panto time. We've got the White Rock Players doing Hunchback of Notre Dame, and that's going to be at the White Rock Theater. The auditions are July 9th and 12th at the Centennial Arena in White Rock. They're looking for leads, supporting leads, several chorus roles, speaking roles, singing, dancing, and asset, but not always essential. They also want stage crew, the carpenters, costumers, set decorators, dancers, props people, jugglers, sewers, mimes, you get the idea. And so you can go to whiterockplayersclub.com to find out more about that. Another panto, the favorite Fraser Valley Gilbert and Sullivan Society is doing Little Mermaid as their Christmas panto, and that will be at the Surrey Arts Centre in November and December. The auditions are in August in Surrey. It's open to anyone ages 8 and up. We've got the Royal Canadian Theatre Company doing Hound of the Baskervilles in October. That's a show that's going to tour around the Fraser Valley. They're going to play in Surrey, Maple Ridge, Vancouver, New Westminster, maybe Port Coquitlam. The auditions are on the 29th of August at the Studio in Surrey. They need somebody with strong comedic skills, both verbal and physical. So check out Royal Canadian Theatre Company for more information about that. And Metro Theatre doing Calendar Girls by Tim Firth, directed by Alison Schamberger. And that's happening in October. The auditions are July 24th and 25th at the Metro Theatre at Southwest Marine Drive at the foot of Granville Street. And they do want you to have English accents. If you want details on these or any other audition notices, go to VancouverActorsGuide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you would like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page or email DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. All right, it's shameless plug time, as I have mentioned before and will continue to mention in the future. Your humble host is going to be appearing in a show at the Fringe this year. It's called Obit, and it's a comedy about death and dying. It's basically a play about what we say about people after they've passed compared to how we really felt about them when they were alive. It's going to be at the Cult Historic Theater, the big 200-seat house on Venables and Victoria through the run of the Fringe Festival, September 7th to 17th. So if you are planning on going to see shows for the Fringe Festival, make sure that Obit is on your list. Okay, we got time for one more tune. This is some friends of ours that are going to be playing tomorrow at the Catalina Festival. They're called the Wooden Horsemen, and I'm just doing a quick search to see what stage they're going to be on here. There they are. They're going to be at 4th and McDonald at 6 o'clock on Saturday. That's tomorrow at the Catalina Festival. These are Wooden Horsemen.
I can feel the curtains coming down. Soon enough, we'll all be taking a bow. Destination was always the same, babe. I feel the heat and it keeps me warm. These days I seem to linger on. Soon enough we'll all be on our own. Just like a penny, a voodoo doll, acting like it was nothing at all.
That's our show. Thanks for spending your lunch hour with us. Special thanks to our guests, Helen Martin and Megan Alda of Red Window Theater Ensemble, Sarah Bino of Say What and Teen Angst, and Michelle Muldoon of the movie that I just forgot. I'm always so close. I'm just so close, and then it just slips my mind. But it's all on the Dave Radio Facebook page, so you can check it out there. If you have a show that needs something or something, I can't even find my script now. Oh my goodness, it's just getting out of control. I'm just clicking and moving all at the same time, and it just doesn't work. Okay, here we go. If you have a show that needs a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shooting that needs background, we're here for you. Give us your details by sending them to DaveRadioPodcast@hotmail.com. Please like us on Facebook. And if you missed all or any of today's show or want to relive glorious moments from the past, check out our podcast archive at CITR.ca. Fresh Slice is up next, followed by Radio Zero at 2, and then at 3:30, it's Napkin Boy with Nardwuar, the Human Serviette Presents. Dave Radio returns next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.